Brad and Brit, Brad and Brit, the perfect combination of brawn and wit. Politics, sports, and trending shit. Let's tune in to Brad and Brit.
It's the Brad and Brit cast. We're glad you're with us here. We're live in the Tuesday 1:30 or so hour. We're glad you're with us. We really are. We'll be here again Wednesday. And then that's it. I don't know. We'll figure out. We're just going to take the whole damn week off next week. Or I don't know. We don't know. It depends what management says.
Yeah, that is the great thing, is we don't really
This was the great thing about radio. Because, of course, it's like a hospital. It has to be there 24 hours a day. You don't get to close it on holidays. It has to be there. And we would always work for people who would say, well, you have to work this holiday. It's important. It's important you work this holiday because this gives you a chance to get exposed to new people. Because, you know, these are big driving days. People are on the highways and they might not normally hear you. So it's a really great chance to promote yourself. So you're working Christmas, you're working Thanksgiving, you'll be here New Year's Day. And you always knew that was just a load of shit that no one was listening. People were doing things.
Yes, they were.
And it didn't matter where you were. It didn't matter what size market. You know, you could have been in Fleabag, Tennessee. They'd say the same thing as they would say. You worked in Fleabag. Worked in Fleabag.
Yeah, they had a good stick there in Fleabag. Yeah. And so it was all pretty awesome.
Yeah. Then they made that show about Fleabag, right?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they did. All right. The list looks like this.
All right.
The biggest fraud in all of TV news. Get Don a calendar for Christmas.
Uh-huh.
Eric Montross.
Yeah.
The shame of Charlotte Pro Sports. Relax, North Carolina Republicans. He'll be on the primary ballot. Relax. And slicing and dicing, North Carolina style.
Let's go ahead and do, let's talk about Eric Montross, who we had an opportunity to meet a few times, the former North Carolina basketball player, won a national championship in 1993 with Dean Smith and the Tar Heels, and he passed away. It was announced yesterday at the age of 52, diagnosed, I think, with cancer in March, and then before the end of the year, he was gone.
I forgot that they beat the Michigan Fab Five.
Yeah.
In the final and ruined that story.
Well,
wow, that's fantastic, isn't it?
How many national championships did the famed Fab Five win? This many.
Zero.
Of course. That would be correct. For those of you that might remember, this is the one where Chris Webber, the Michigan player, calls a timeout when there were no timeouts remaining, and that's a technical foul in college basketball at the end of the game.
Right. Nice show. We never heard from him again. That was the end. He was exiled to the planet Fringus. Yeah. But my recollection of us spending – really hardly any time with Eric Montross, but we had these annual fundraisers every year at the North Carolina Children's Hospital. And he was a big, big, big part of that. I mean, he was a huge part of it. Right. And I think you'll recall that his hands were the size of two catcher's mitts. He was just a big guy. To him, holding a basketball is like you or me holding a baseball, right? You can get your hands mostly around a baseball. He gave his hands mostly around a basketball. And he was a good ball player. He was a great ball player.
He was very good. Second team All-American a couple times. To go through life like that, to be that large is difficult in and of itself. And then you gain a level of fame. And then in this area, you have that level of fame. You can't really hide. You can't really go to the grocery store. Oh, is that Eric Montross? No, they're going to know who it is. You know, you can't go over and hide behind the tangerines over at Trader Joe's.
Right. And it was a first round draft choice.
Yeah.
And enough said about his basketball prowess. I think he was in the NBA for 8 years. But it's so unfair. And as someone who is headed into possibly some kind of cancer protocol myself, I don't have it yet, but I'm on the bubble here right now, getting blood transfusions twice a week for myelofibrosis, which if I don't get it treated with a stem cell transplant within a reasonable amount of time, I'm going to be in real trouble, and you'll be doing this podcast by yourself. Now I feel fine, but I'm being treated right now, about to be treated at the same place Eric Montross was treated, not the same building, but right there. And I have full confidence in them. They're not saying what kind of cancer he had.
No.
But it's one of those where he only knew about it for 7 or 8 months. So it must've been a fast acting, didn't know he had it kind of thing. So I feel for him, for his family, for his friends, and for the whole UNC community. And it's a story that went wide. Okay. It was not just a North Carolina story. It was everywhere. Everybody knew who he was. He was
such a sweet guy. And there's really no negative stories about Eric Montross. When we say that he was involved with the Children's Hospital, I think he got involved when he was a player at North Carolina, and he met someone who was being treated there. And I don't think the child made it. He would specifically, one of the things that he did was he would pick out artwork for the Children's Hospital, and I think he paid for it as well. But, you know, when you're there for a number of weeks or months, as some of these children, some of these families are, it's one of those things that's very helpful to try to, you know, make it to seem something like bearable. And when we say that he was involved, it wasn't like once a year they said, hey, can you write a check and bug a couple of your friends to write a check? Nope. Eric, I don't know if he was on the board. He may have been. He was 100% personally available to do whatever they needed to get. If they needed stuff from the North Carolina basketball program, if there were people that he could call and get stuff from to auction off, if there were people he could get to make appearances, they would go through him. Just the sweetest guy. And that's how you live your life. I mean, that's what you do. It's a huge tragedy and a big loss for us.
Now that we've gone high, may I just go low for a moment here?
If you would, because we're getting off brand.
We're getting off brand. And I just have to say it. Why Eric Montross at 52 and Trump is still alive? Why? Why?
How could it be?
It
doesn't seem to be fair, does it?
It's not fair. It's not fair. All right. Enough said
there.
How about the biggest fraud in all of TV news?
Well, that's going to be a big order. I can't wait to hear what your nomination is.
Well, I'm going for Brett Baer of Fox.
All right, make your case.
Here's my case. My case is that for 20 years now, he has benefited from the false self-labeling and labeling, even by others outside of Fox world, even among people who know Fox is a bullshit 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week Republican commercial, as being one of the quote-unquote straight journalists at Fox. He's not an opinion guy. He's not Bill O'Reilly or Tucker Carlson or Sean Hannity. He plays it pretty straight. You know, and he's pretty well respected in the industry. He's Brett Baer of Fox News. And I never believed that for one second. I never believed that at a certain point you have to check your integrity at the door to keep taking the big paycheck. And you can't go off brand. The minute you go off brand, you become Shepard Smith, Allison Camerota, some of the other people that have left Fox, because or Chris Wallace, I guess your conscience gets to you. You really do start to play it straight. Playing it straight on Fox means not being on the team. facts are an enemy. So we get to this weekend that went by, and Trump doubles down, triples down, splits the cards, and goes full wacko with all of the Hitler invocations. We don't have to go through everything that he said. If you watch us, if you're part of us, you already know. So here comes Bret Baier, and he's now a guest, okay? He's not the host on a segment with another guy on Fox who almost half pretends to be playing it straight. His name is David Asman. Some people say he's Ass Man. His name is spelled A-S-M-A-N. So now
you've seen the Seinfeld episode, right?
Yeah. So Asman is now the host and Bret Baier is the guest.
Okay.
And they're really in a corner here on Fox in reporting what Trump has said the last few days. Okay. Remember, they're fully back in his camp, right? They're completely back on Team Trump.
Right.
But the H word shall never be spoken by a Fox person. Listen how closely they avoid telling their coddled snowflake audience about the story of Donald Trump. And it's always from the standpoint of the meltdown by everybody in the world about it. But they don't ever really quite say what it was. This is just, this is off the charts, beyond this. And here we go.
Some of the things that Trump has been saying are quite difficult, even for his supporters. He said one the other night, I think we have the soundbite from that. Roll it if you got it.
They're poisoning the blood of our country. That's what they've done. They poison mental institutions and prisons all over the world, not just in South America, not just the three or four countries that we think about, but all over the world. They're coming into our country from Africa, from Asia, all over the world. They're pouring into our country. Nobody's even looking at them. They just come in. The crime is going to be tremendous. The terrorism is going to be and then we built a tremendous piece of the wall, and then we're going to build more.
Brett, nobody argues that it's not a disaster at the border. It is, and it's of course being reflected in cities all over the country. But to use that phrase, poisoning the blood, that really got under the skin of a lot of supporters.
Where does that come from?
Any sign that anybody in his campaign is going to try to answer that?
Brett,
not really. I think it's the word he chose. I think it raised a lot of eyebrows, not only in the Democratic
eyebrows side, were raised,
Republican circles. Yeah. Obviously, it harkens back to some writings and writings. Has been written about in numerous articles. But it's also important to
point Hitler wrote articles.
The former president is married to an immigrant who just did a naturalization ceremony at the National Archives to welcome immigrants into the country. So there's a disconnect there. If that's the dog whistle he's sending, some people are saying it is. Other people are saying it's just the words he chose.
Yeah.
Republicans, even though, are uncomfortable with that phrase.
Sometimes he does like to tweak people, too. You wonder whether there was something of that in the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is that... Oh my God!
There you know, when some the president
apparently, some writings, Britt, some writings by some.
You know, when the president said he was going to round him up, put him on a train, and gas him, a lot of liberals just went crazy with that. They started raising their eyebrows, and you know, that's just what he does. He just tweaks people.
Well, he may as well have said that, right? He may as well have said that. I mean,
it is great, boy. They just get worked up over him, don't they?
So, don't you think that the memo is circulated within Fox to never say Hitler, never connect Hitler and Trump to the audience? Because I think it's fair to say that core that leaves Fox when they, for instance, report the correct election result in Arizona in 2020, those people do not see the clips. And if they do see it, they see it right there kind of out of context with no attempt to tell the audience that, of course, that's Hitler language that he used in Mein Kampf, a bestseller on the Fox book list in 1925, Mein Kampf. Now, available. I wonder who reads the audio version on that for the Fox audience.
Donald Trump does. Donald Trump
reads it. Yeah.
So good. Everything happened. The Jew came for a reason. Everybody knows it.
Now, Bret Baier, if I'm not missing, a couple months ago, I said he sold a house, I think in Palm Beach or something, for $30 million. I mean, they've been paying him so much. Yeah. To be that guy,
yeah,
all these years, and he's willing to do it.
Yeah, the gravy train keeps rolling.
There you are. I just think that is the most illustrative clip of what a fraudulent organization that is.
I love you know, he just likes to tweak other people so much. What a cheeky monkey that Donald Trump is, huh?
Yeah. With that in mind. There is a column today in the New York Times, and it is, how should we say, quite disturbing. Quite disturbing because it is the slickest, most cynical, and full of shit, I think, column that's ever been written to justify the appeal of Donald Trump. It's titled "The Secret of Trump's Appeal Isn't Authoritarianism," and it's written by a guy who you've never heard of, I've never heard of. His name is Matthew Schmitz, S-C-H-M-I-T-Z. He is the founder and editor of something called Compact, an online magazine, which it's been around for about 2 years, and they're all over the map. But whenever a site like this says we print from all sides, usually that really means it's right-wing bullshit disguised. And this is the ultimate example of this. I don't want to read the whole thing, but the idea that people like you, Britt, and me, and everyone else in the normal world believes that Donald Trump is appealing to the worst instincts of America, running as an authoritarian, running to dismantle the government and then reassemble it with toadies and people loyal to him so he can carry out revenge, knock out all of the accusations against him for things that he is clearly guilty of, and turn this into a dictatorship, if not just for one day. We're the crazy ones. We don't understand why so many people love Donald Trump and are willing to vote for him. We actually think that they want the authoritarian in charge of this country to clean up the mess, to fix the house, to kick out the freeloaders, to get things back to the way they were, whenever you think that was, in some kind of mythical past. Mr. Schmitz writes that Donald Trump isn't ahead of Joe Biden in the swing states now in the polls because Americans are eager to submit to authoritarianism. He's not attracting the backing of more blacks and Hispanics because they support white supremacy. His success is not a sign that America is prepared to embrace the ideas of the extreme right. He enjoys enduring support because he is perceived by many voters, often with good reason, as a pragmatic, if unpredictable kind of, you ready, moderate. And so he runs through all of these issues where Trump has taken both sides of the issue and reads the room for the next 5 minutes and says something to get to the next moment. Such characterizations may baffle Trump's detractors, but even his most provocative comments, including the "I'd be a dictator for one day," that Mark Milley should be killed for a treasonous act, you know, the general.
Well, various people should be executed, drawn, and quartered, etc. There's a lot of that.
Inured to his braggadocio, they see him now as he was then, less an ideological warrior than a flexible-minded businessman who favors negotiation and compromise, which is why people have stuck with him. The moderation, Brit, it's hard to miss. So this is the game, and this is the new attempt to run interference for him. It's another version of, Brit, you just don't get the joke. You don't get the humor. You don't get the fact that he's running one way, but he's going to govern as a completely reasonable guy, like he did the 4 years
he was in
office.
It's much worse now. It's much worse than it was 7 years ago, because we've had the track record, and he's blatantly saying, I'm going to beat the shit, and I'm going to jail people, and I'm going to do much worse. And anybody who was ever there to stop him back during his first administration, they ain't going to be there. So it's way, there's no moderation.
You're not supposed to believe that, Britt.
The moderate candidate is Nikki Haley, and P.S., she's radical as shit. She wants to kick the shit out of Social Security and Medicare, among many, many other things. She's the one that's being presented as the moderate one right now, and she's batshit crazy. So, yeah, I'm ringing up a no sale on that one, Brad.
Mr. Trump recently shared on social media the results of a Reuters investigation that found, and I don't know how this one got by us, that he's the only living American president who wasn't descended from slaveholders. All right, so here we go. Let's run through it. Barack Obama.
Slaveholders.
Was a descendant of slaveholders. Joe Biden, a descendant of slaveholders. Bill Clinton, a descendant of slaveholders. And George W. Bush, descendant of slave owners. Jimmy Carter, still alive, a descendant of slaveholders, according to Reuters. Now, see, here's what he gleans from this. He says, I hope that every African-American in our country is reading this right now, because if your great-great-great-grandfather wasn't a slaveholder, that must mean that at this moment, you're good for the blacks, right?
Well, that's it. Come on over, black folks. I've been good for you. Meanwhile, and by the way, this just drives me nuts, because if you actually look at it, you've heard it for a while now. This is the lowest black unemployment rate we've ever had in this country. Right now, as we
speak. Who cares? It doesn't matter.
No. What matters is that I was not the descendant of slaveholders. I mean, Jesus Christ, seriously. And then, oh my God, the stuff that he's talking about, all these immigrants and stuff poisoning the blood, and you feel like, well, the Hispanic vote's really kind of drifting over toward Trump. Well, of course it is. Why wouldn't it? Of course. What a great deal. He's done such great things for the Hispanic folks. Of course he has.
Yeah. Now, remember, a column like this, and I'm sure the New York Times is going to get pasted by some of its readers for just running it, but I'm glad that they did. And if you read the comments, the people who answer it are pretty brilliant, and they just completely shred this guy for going there. But you can't write about Trump like this and isolate the fact that he really did and is on trial for, or is about to be on trial for, trying to overturn the election, not an election, but the election of 2020. There's another language thing that drives me crazy. You know, Donald Trump tried to overturn an election. Which one? I don't know.
Which election was it?
Which one was it? So it's worth noting, and I'm guessing that a lot of folks who are trying to justify their support for Trump for all the wrong reasons are going to think that these are the right reasons, and they may throw them at you at your Christmas dinner if you're still speaking to your family by Christmas next week.
Now, by the way, you've speaking of for all the right reasons, you did hear about his little fundraiser at Mar-a-Lago for Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson over the weekend, correct?
I heard, boy, that one came and went through my little head here.
Now we're following the North Carolina governor's race. Mark Robinson, who is an extremely dangerous man, is also running against a white, skinnier version of himself in a guy named Bill Graham. And Mark Robinson hates transphobia. He's right on board with all the cultural shit. Anything you can imagine Trump is for and Trump is against, he's there with him. And they had a fundraiser. And, of course, Trump is throwing his support behind Mark Robinson because Mark Robinson has been kissing Donald Trump's ass for a long, long time.
I would hope you would say he's throwing his weight behind
And Mark while Robinson. There were a lot of people there, there were a lot of very wealthy people at Mar-a-Lago. Trump pointed out, "You guys are rich as shit, and I'm going to cut your taxes." Okay,
that I saw. I did see that.
Yeah. So yes, there you go. That was during the Mark Robinson fundraiser. So but despite the,
you see, that's the kind of factoid, and it's not a factoid. Factoid means it's a little nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a statement that deserves wider distribution than it's ever going to get. In other words, the last 4 days, it's just, you know, you're seeing the same two clips of Trump talking about poisoning the blood of the country with immigrants. And of course, that's, you know, unassailably horrible. But it's these other things that are equally unassailably horrible. The idea that a guy who lies about the 4 years that he was president as being the greatest economy in the history of the world. And part of the reason that people think, and this doesn't even make it to the guy's column today, that they want to go back to Trump world because they have been told 150,000 times by who? Trump himself, that it was the greatest economy in the history of the world. And of course, it wasn't. By any measure, including the stock market, not the greatest ever. In fact, the greatest ever stock market is at this moment while we're talking.
As it turns out,
just about.
The S&P 500 up about 24% year to date with just a few days left in the year, Brad.
Yeah. But Britt, what about next year? Huh? What about next year?
it's very interesting. As this plays out in North Carolina, that Donald Trump has decided he's going to stick with Mark Robinson. He's going to put all of, like you say, his weight, his force. He's his guy. And just the inherent racism of Republican voters are going to go, but there's a guy over here that does all the thing that this one does, and he's white. And I'm just very interested to see how this plays out in the new year.
Mm-hmm. Which one is gone, Diamond or Silk? Which one died?
I'm not sure. I can't remember. That was about a year ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. Why doesn't he just join up with the one who's still alive?
Still with us?
Put that act back together.
Strangely, you just don't see much of whichever one's left anymore. You just don't. It's weird. Well, have you been enjoying, by the way, the Talking Points USA Fuckfest, which I think wraps up today?
Somehow I've managed to live without even acknowledging that it exists.
It's a real, you should go out and just for shits and grins, you should Google some of the stuff that's going on there. It's really unbelievable. It is completely nuts. Mm. Oh boy.
All right. The shame of Charlotte Pro Sports. And we're not even going to get to the Panthers yet because
Sunday for the Panthers.
I understand that. But last night, Miles Bridges, who plays for the Charlotte Hornets, who was arrested for domestic violence against the mother of his two children last year, was not allowed into Canada.
Right.
The Hornets were going to play the Toronto Raptors. He didn't make it past whatever customs or whatever to get into Canada. He pleaded no contest to a felony charge of injuring a child's parent. I guess it would be that child's parent. A child's parent. As part of a plea deal that saw the other felony counts of domestic violence dropped. He avoided jail time, but he's on probation for 3 years. He's also ordered to have no contact. It's not clear why Bridges was denied entry into Canada, but they say it's related to all of those little legal issues. And you know how Canada is, they're tough. They can say no to anybody with a criminal record. Coach of the Hornets, Steve Clifford, said, the only thing I'm going to say is neither Miles nor rookie center Nathan Mensah from Ghana will be with us last night, tonight. That's all I'm going to say. So
the Ghana guy didn't make it either.
So here's some good tweet jargon or text message jargon. Mr. Bridges, the guy who wasn't allowed in, tweeted, then deleted, got denied in the six. That's a nickname for Toronto that has six area codes. Wow. Yeah. It's called the six. Is that big cool?
It's beyond cool.
Yeah. But you know what? That's gerrymandering area codes the way I see it. Okay. They should have one big one. There's bad.
I saw a reporter for that TV station we used to work for, and they did the bit where they go up to his house and we're here to talk to Mr. Brent. They did that bit and somebody's talking through the ringtone like, I'm sorry, who are you? They're like, we're here to talk to Miles. We want to talk to Miles. I haven't seen that bit done in a while.
All right, so that's pretty rocky bottom kind of stuff for an NBA team, but I guess it doesn't even compare to how bad the Carolina Panthers are. And of course, the pictures of the near empty stands, they didn't just go viral. Okay. They went super viral all around the country, and there was no way to hide the fact that there were a couple thousand people in the stands on a cold, rainy day in December to see a team that had won just one game.
Now, it's not
good they were for
not
those people who went. Yeah, good for those people who went there. They got lucky and saw a nice ending.
Well, they were at 95% capacity. Look, there it is right there. 95% right. Capacity, Brad.
Yeah. 95% capacity of open seats, right?
Yeah. It's so funny. Charlotte has turned into a sewer of professional sports. I mean, Michael Jordan, he got the fuck out earlier this year. He's like, I'm done. I'm going to go ahead and cash in. And as I hear it, he doesn't need the money. As I hear it, I'm not sure. So it's very weird. And this Tepper guy seems to have a stranglehold on the city. And he's hated. He is very much hated. Jerry Richardson, for all of his problems, and he had a lot, was very much a beloved figure in the city. And he tried very hard to get football into Charlotte and the Carolinas, and he was revered. And this guy from day one has been awful. I would say, in fact, he's poisoned the blood of sports fans here in North Carolina.
Okay, that's enough. Edit that out.
Well, you know, I just like to tweak people, Brad. Some eyebrows have been raised over what I said.
Where did you get that phrase, Britt?
Some people have. It's been written and published. Maybe on a website. I published on X. X seems to have it a lot for some reason. Elon Musk's social media platform seems to have a lot of poisoning the blood stuff on there for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of sad. I mean, when I was looking Sunday morning at the Ticketmaster site, which is, I guess, a resale. It's a StubHub kind of, I don't know how they do that, but anyway, they're there. And the tickets were $6 2 hours before kickoff. I thought, well, of course, there was no way I thought about going, or, you know, because it's basically a 2 hour annoying drive. Although, you know what, Britt, we could have parked real close this time, probably for cheap.
We could have like suffered and drowned in the cold rain.
Yeah. Oh. But I thought, well, wait, since this is Ticketmaster, you could buy the ticket for $6. The service charge probably still would have been 20.
Right? Yeah, 20 or 30 bucks. Yeah, that'd be great. Right. Any other owner would have been there. And for the people who showed up, he would have tried to shake every one of their hands. He would have tried to buy them a beer, or any other owner with a conscience, who's a multi-billionaire, the richest owner, by the way, in the National Football League.
Yeah, but see, you can't, He couldn't do that because he'd get booed just by showing his face.
I'll go, hey, thank you for, I'll do it. Just he's not thank that you guy. For showing up. Here's a Bojangles chicken, whatever. Here's, you know, here's a bag of peanuts. Here's something I bought for you. Now, I know they're probably going to go, oh, he's rich and he just bought me a chicken leg. But still, you're there.
Yeah. I mean, I guess he could have gone to the 50-yard line at halftime and apologize or some just something like that. Apologies. I'm sorry.
In dramatic fashion, going to the 50-yard line and shot himself in front of everyone. It's my Christmas present to you, Charlotte. People didn't know whether to be horrified or overjoyed. It was a difficult. It was a tough emotional range there.
What was that, 3 weeks? 3 weeks to go, three games to go.
So 3 weeks to go, and you know they've won. They won two.
A long 3 weeks.
It's been a long fucking season. I'm sorry. I thank God for Tepper every week because it keeps people talking about what a shitty owner Mark Davis is. They can't talk about what a terrible owner Mark Davis is with this guy over here.
Guy owns the Vegas Raiders.
The Raiders. Yeah, you can't. You can tell. You know, he's gone through two coaches in 3 years too. The team is not. Two wins. The team actually has won six games this year, but still. I'm so thankful. David Tepper's by far the worst owner in the NFL now that Snyder's gone. It's not even. I don't even know if there's a second place right now. I mean, it's just. It really is. You have to marvel at the shittiness of it. Oh.
All right, and slicing and dicing. North Carolina style. I'm not talking about slicing and dicing barbecue.
Yeah.
Different styles. Yeah. I'm talking about slicing and dicing voting districts. And here we go. Today we have another lawsuit, a federal lawsuit, and it's filed by the NAACP, North Carolina State Conference, Common Cause, Black Voters, attorneys from the Southern Coalition for Social Justice, and the lawyers that represent the plaintiffs, and they're calling bullshit on the way, and this is the U.S. Congress map of the 14 districts now that North Carolina has, and particularly what they've done where we are. They've chopped up Greensboro into three different districts to disperse the identifiably Democratic voters, many of whom are Black, and distributed them into districts going off in all different directions. They've done it in, I think, Raleigh, too. And, of course, Charlotte also. They pick the biggest cities, and they do that. And as a result, there are three or four districts that, if the map that was just devised in the last few months were to hold, it would move probably several seats from a Democrat to Republican. And if this lawsuit succeeds, the old map, I guess, would be reinstituted. And we would have more of a 7-7 kind of thing. Common Cause. Bob Phillips, executive director, says North Carolina legislators have imposed discriminatory voting maps that outrageously attack the rights of Black North Carolinians. Sadly, by the way, me too. I'm not Black, but it's same, you know, same I principle. Went in on this also. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sadly, racist gerrymandering once again plagues our state and harms voters. We must defeat it. Our voting districts don't belong to politicians. Our districts belong to the people. Well, there's nothing more to be said, no more to read there, because that's just the facts. But until we do what some other states have done, many states have done, which is take redistricting away from blatant partisanship based on who wins the most seats in the years that end in zero, 2020, 2030 will be the next time. It's just not how it's supposed to be. Not supposed to be that way. And a lot of states have said, no, Michigan changed, California changed. It can happen. But, Britt, you've lived in North Carolina longer than I have. it doesn't look like it's ever going to happen here, where we're not going to. I mean, ever since I've lived here, it's it's been this way. There's back and forth, and they're always fiddling and diddling to try to gain.
For a few blissful moments, you and I, living in the same city, actually had the same representative. Now that's gonna that's gonna go right in the shitter. The same people that haul Brad's trash away haul my trash away. The same people that pipe water into his house pipe water into my house, and we can't have the same.
For folks that don't know, I mean, I live on the northwest,
yeah,
on my side of Greensboro, and you're far to the east, to the east. You're not even in Greensboro. You're in a little. Suburb called Schmechelman. You're in Schmechelman, North Carolina.
We are in the city. We have a city council person. We pay city taxes. We have city water. My doo-doo is handled by the city, if I may get graphic. All of those things. But yet we can't have the same representative. We can't have the same person representing us in Congress. It just can't happen.
Not allowed.
Sounds like a David Tepper plan.